Michigan's radio program of record is The Steve Gruber Show. Here is Steve Gruber.
Every now and then there are people that capture my attention because they're different. They're outspoken and they're well-spoken and they get my attention. That describes my next guest to a T, an American lawyer, writer, radio and television personality, and host of his own program called The Larry Elder Show, and he's gotten up early from California to touch base with us. Larry Elder, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, you know, let's talk. I mean, I want to introduce you a little bit to the folks that maybe aren't familiar with you. I've followed you on Twitter and Facebook and other places and listened to your some of your podcasts and so forth, and I find your take different and interesting, which is why you're here. But what I find most fascinating is the fact that, okay, you're a black man. You're living in California in the epicenter of all things liberal, I think. You're right there in Hollywood, basically, and I just wonder, you know, how do you fit in a cocktail party, you know, because, I mean, let's be honest, black conservatives or libertarians in your case, you know, you don't get treated particularly well in the press and elsewhere, so how do you fit into the cocktail
party? Well, you're right. There's a no-fly zone over, most people in this country, but certainly not black males, not white Republican Christians. You can call them all sorts of names. You can call them Uncle Toms. You can call them sellouts. You can call them sugarcane Negroes. I have a laundry list of things I've been called. It's fascinating. It's just as racist to call somebody an Uncle Tom as it is for a white person to call somebody the N-word. What you're really saying is you as a black person do not have the right to have affection towards white people. And if you do so, there's something wrong with you, which is a slam on both whites and blacks. Your question, though, is how do I function here in California? Well, I have a two-step process I always tell people. I push for two things. I want us to keep the illegal aliens and deport the liberals. So I'm pushing for that agenda. Look, it's rough. This is a crazy state. There's not a single Republican that's elected statewide, Steve. Not one. Not a single one. And until the last election, we had a veto-proof Democratic majority legislature in Sacramento. So they could do any damn thing they want and did.
And do.
We got a $15 minimum wage out here in L.A. We just now passed it. And believe it or not, these freaking unions that push for it are seeking an exemption for firms that hire union workers. I am not making this up. If you are an employer and you have union workers, the very $15 minimum wage that the union pushed for, you have an exemption because you have union workers.
They didn't push for it.
What is that but an admission that higher minimum wage kills jobs? They're admitting it, and they do it anyway.
And meanwhile, the same unions are supporting the flood of illegal aliens over the southern border. I mean, that I don't get. I've got friends here. I'm in Michigan, a big union state. I've got a lot of friends that are in the union. I'm here in General Motors world, right, in Ford Motor Company. And the unions, much to the chagrin of people I know, are cheerleading this flood of illegals at the border. And it's crazy talk to me.
Well, here's why they do it, Steve. And a lot of people don't seem to get this. It isn't just that they're looking for votes, that is to say, eventually, some of these illegal aliens were going to become citizens, and they're going to vote likely 75% for Democrats. That's just one thing. That's way down the road. Right now, in most states, and I'm sure it's Michigan too, when you do redistricting to determine how many lawmakers you have, they count everybody, not just people who are eligible to vote, but everybody. Out here in California, they count everybody. So if you're an illegal alien, you are counted as a resident in the district towards determining how many Democrats, how many Republicans they have. There's a case right now before the Supreme Court trying to strike this down, and if it's stricken down, most people believe that Republicans are going to pick up a number of seats in the House.
Because you finally play fair, you know, but here you go again, Larry, thinking for yourself, how dare you, you know, who do you think, sit down and vote Democratic, that's your job, and that's what you should do. You talk about the message of race, and just the things that were said about Ben Carson here recently, one of the most accomplished people, doesn't matter if he's black or what, doesn't matter, one of the most accomplished people in the 20th century, in the 21st century, with his skills, his hand,
well,
his mind,
yeah,
and he gets run down.
He came out as Republican. He was well received by the black community until he came out as Republican, and now all of a sudden he's Darth Vader. Same guy. And you know, and I've been accused of being born with a silver spoon in my mouth and all that stuff. My father was a janitor. He worked two full-time jobs as a janitor. My father does not know who his biological father is. My name, Elder, was the name of one of his mother's many boyfriends, the guy that stayed in his life the longest. My father was thrown out of his house when he was 13 years years old by his mother because he quarreled with his mother's then-boyfriend. Mom sides with the boyfriend, throws my dad out of the house. We're talking about a black kid, 13 years old, Steve, Jim Crow South, Athens, Georgia, in the Great Depression, never to return home. And my dad became a Pullman porter on the trains, and when World War II broke out, he was stationed in Guam, gets out. He was a cook, staff sergeant, gets out, goes back to the South to get a job as a cook, and he's told, we don't hire niggers. He then comes to California, where he had visited as a Pullman porter, and he was told, you need references, which is California's more genteel way of saying we don't hire niggers. My dad even said, I work for you for free. Just give me a reference. Nobody would do it. So he took two jobs as a janitor, cooked for our family on the weekends, and went to night school to get his GED. I never saw a human being work that hard. And, Steve, the reason I'm telling you all of this is because my father's attitude was as follows. Hard work wins. You get out of life what you put into it. No matter how hard you work, bad things are going to happen. How you adjust to those bad things will tell your mother and me whether or not we raised a man. I'd always say, Dad, not too much pressure.
Yeah, no, I think that is a terrific story because hard work is what it's all about. And I think what we've lost in this country, by and large, is the work ethic. You know, exactly. Everybody's a victim because listening to that story, your father was a victim. You know what? He didn't look at himself as a victim. He didn't consider himself a victim. And he sure as to hell didn't let you get away with that idea either.
That's right. And I wrote about him in my last book, Steve. It's called Dear Father, Dear Son. And the other thing my dad said, my dad was a Republican, by the way. My mom was a Democrat. It was fascinating watching them argue over the kitchen table. But my dad and my mom agreed on this. They both said the worst thing that ever happened to this country, the worst thing that ever happened to the black community was welfare. And that they said it encouraged women to marry the government and it allowed men to abandon their financial and moral responsibility. And both of them agreed on that. And that's exactly what's going on here. All this business about racism, 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 the reason the cops are there is because of crime. There's a disproportionately high amount of crime in the black community. That's why the cops are there. Obama said this, not Larry Elder. Obama said a kid raised without a father is 5 times more likely to be poor, 9 times more likely to drop out of school, 20 times more likely to end up in jail. Now do the math. 75% of black kids are born outside of wedlock right now. If they're 20 times more likely to end up in jail, what do you think is going to happen? And that's the problem. That's the problem. Unwed mothers, the implosion of families in the country, not just the black family, but the white family as well. 25% of white kids are born outside of wedlock. That number was about 5% in 1965.
It's all about the destruction of the family.
Absolutely.
Larry Elder, way to peel it back, my friend. If you want to hear more, and I know you do, LarryElder.com. LarryElder.com, the place to be. Great opening conversation, Larry. We're going to talk again soon, my friend. You are terrific and a great American. Thank you much.
Anytime.
Larry Elder, everybody. LarryElder.com. Take a breath. We'll be right back on the Steve Gruber Show.